Welcome back to Glitchcast, episode number 40. This week we are talking about Searching, which is the new John Cho movie, famous for Harold and Kumar, right? Would that be his like most famous thing?
Yeah, he was in the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies as well, but yeah, he's Roldy.
Yeah, but this is the movie that takes place essentially all on a computer screen, sort of similar to Unfriended that came out a few years ago, although this is not like a paranormal kind of horror movie. This is more of just like a mystery.
Or is it? I'll have comments on that later.
All right. But yeah, it's doing great. It's got like 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. A decent return as it expanded into nationwide theaters this week. But we'll get to that. Non-spoiler and spoiler review. First up, movie news. Star Wars Episode 9 continues casting more people. They've cast Matt Smith in a key role. No other details about that. Matt Smith is Doctor Who. Is he still Doctor Who?
No, some old dude took over, and now it's a girl. Much to many people's chagrin, who hate women.
But he just fellow Glitchup co-founder Pat posted this news in our Slack, and he just said, like, he has the most punchable face. And it's just like, that's so true. He's got to be, like, a villain, right? Because he just has that punchable face. He's got to be a villain.
I don't know him in too much, but he does have a punchable face. But I can see him being, like, Ray's dad or something.
I guess, but aren't the parents supposed to not be a... not be anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Even bring him I have again? A feeling Abrams is going to take undo a lot of what Mr. Johnson did in the last movie.
I hope so.
But I don't... Yeah, this news doesn't really affect me. I don't really know the guy. We will see.
Yeah. Next up, Wile E. Coyote is getting a film. So, the Roadrunner's nemesis.
What in the world?
It's officially in development at Warner Brothers. They found a couple writers. Two guys that used to write for It's Always Sunny are going to write the movie. That is all the details that are going on right now. How do you make a Wile E. Coyote movie?
How do you make a live-action Sonic movie? And we're getting it. So, like, at this point, I don't even know. Like, who cares? Also, Wile E. he's hungry. And I kind of feel bad for him. He's hungry. And he never gets the bird. He never gets to eat. He looks like he's dying because he's so, you know, skinny.
He's malnourished.
And yeah. This poor guy. I'm glad he's getting the spotlight.
Even though it's just going to be him getting duped the entire movie, probably, you know?
Like, I could watch that.
All right. I mean, why are there so many movies like this? Like, obviously, we're getting Sonic. We're getting Detective Pikachu. Now we're getting this.
Because nostalgia fuels Hollywood like a... now. And... I mean, I guess, who's nostalgic for Wile E. Coyote, though? Like, I guess I grew up with Looney Tunes, but I more grew up with, like, Mario and Sonic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Is Looney Tunes even, like, a deal for anyone? I was a kid, like, I kind of like Looney Tunes, but it was still kind of behind other stuff. It was behind, like, Scooby-Doo and...
Yeah, this has got bomb written all over it.
Yeah. I guess we'll see what happens. Next up, Chris Hemsworth has been kind of a hot commodity here, I guess, lately. Is going to be in a kidnap extraction drama called Jaka? From Joe Russo, who is part of the Russo brothers that directed and made Avengers Infinity War, Captain America Civil War, and will be making the next Infinity War Part 2, whatever they're going to call it. But this is... he's not directing it. He wrote it. It's going to be some dude that was second unit director in stunt coordination on Infinity War, and Atomic Blonde is going to be directing it. So it's going to be his debut.
Ooh.
So interesting move there. But Hemsworth is going to play a man who, despite his physical abilities, is an emotional coward and must face his issues when he's assigned to liberate a kidnapped Indian boy. So what do you think that means? What do you think emotional coward means?
To me, that sounds like someone who, like, cheated on his girlfriend and doesn't want, like, the girl found out, but he doesn't want to have the conversation. Like, he doesn't like emotional confrontation. What does that have to do with the kidnap extraction drama?
No idea. That would be hilarious if, like, that was his character, because then this could be, like, kind of funny.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that can't be, like, what it's going to be. It's just got to be, like, a dude that, like, doesn't let his emotions show ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be what it is,
yeah.
Right?
Emotional coward.
Which is kind of lame.
Emotional coward sounds still... You say the word coward, and it doesn't mean somebody that covers up their feelings. Or does it? I don't know. But
well, I guess it depends on what the emphasis is on. Is he an emotional coward? Like, he shows his emotions a lot, but he's also a coward?
Yeah, exactly.
Or is he an emotional coward? He's afraid of showing those feelings.
I would love to see Chris Hemsworth as a coward. So, I'm in for this.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. But they are the Russo brothers are producing it, so I assume they'll have some hand in it. This kind of they did secure Netflix is going to be distributing this one too. So
oh, okay, hopefully it's not another dumping ground piece.
Yeah. Next up, A Quiet Place sequel has received a release date. It's going to be May 15th, 2020. So that'll be 2 years, a little over 2 years after the original was released.
And I think when
no new details on it or anything.
When the news came out, that, go ahead. Like they were like, "We are going to do it right. We're not going to crank this out." So I kind of like they're taking their time. It's not just going to be a chasing the money and just putting out a subpar sequel. So hopefully it kicks ass.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is a good amount of space in between the two movies, considering they started, you know, like working on the script at least right away. I just like don't know. I'm just so intrigued about like where they're gonna go.
I think
the story,
you and I discussed we'd like to see anthology. So just take another family and show us what's going on somewhere else in the world. Maybe somebody who's they live in a skyscraper and they gotta fight these things versus like the farm setting of the other one. I always kind of wish The Walking Dead would show people who are living in a city because I feel like you could be pretty safe. You know, the 100th floor of the Hancock Tower here in Chicago. So I'd love to see that.
That would be interesting. Maybe you could cross over with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Oh,
please no.
Skyscraper 2, a quiet, tall place. Speaking of Dwayne is going to star in WB's Epic, literally called Epic, about King, apologies to any Hawaiian people, King Kamehameha?
It's Kamehameha, like what Goku Kamehameha screams in Dragon Ball Z.
Okay, all right, yeah. So he's going to star as that Hawaiian king from Robert Zemeckis, is going to direct it. They're comparing it to Braveheart, which is also boosted by the fact the Braveheart writer is writing this film. This is about a legendary king, first to unite the warring Hawaiian islands, which fulfilled the prophecy that surrounded his fabled life since birth. Took control of Hawaii's destiny and gave the islanders leverage in advancing a culture and trading with the foreign ships from Europe that began showing up on the shores of islands that must have seemed like paradise, albeit a sometimes dangerous one, as explorers like Simon Metcalf and Captain James Cook discovered.
It seems like he's finally doing something that isn't just a family-friendly cookie-cutter Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm down with that. However, there's already a movie named Epic. It's like a shitty CG movie starring a ton of people. Colin Farrell, Josh Hutcherson, Amanda Seyfried, Christoph Waltz, Aziz Ansari, Chris O'Dowd, Pitbull, Jason Sudeikis, Steven Tyler, and Beyonce Knowles. Do you remember that one?
What? No.
Oh yeah, just Google it. It's really stupid. And there's also a movie already called Epic Movie, which was a shitty parody movie.
Yep.
But I'm in for this.
Because I shouldn't have looked up. Epic. Oh, it's a commuter animated film.
Yeah.
That's why it's got all those people. Yeah. Okay, I thought that was like all like a live action thing. That's a wild cast to have in a live action movie called Epic. But yeah, no, I agree. And Zemeckis is definitely going to be like the best director he's ever worked with, I would assume.
For sure.
Although Zemeckis has kind of had diminishing returns, I think, in the past 10 years or so. I can't even remember. Like, I guess Flight was like the most recent one, and that was...
Well, you got to wait for his reconnaissance when the wonderful Mr. Maven comes out, or whatever the hell that movie is.
What?
With
Steve
Carell.
Oh, the Steve Carell one? Oh. Oh, yeah, the Wonderful Woman of Marlon
Yeah.
God. Yeah. but yeah, no, so maybe this will be, you know, his big dramatic moment where he finally kind of like pushes into better movies.
Please.
And not just, you know, pop.
Because like I'm at the point now where I'm burnt out on The Rock.
Oh, we know. next up, Michelle Yeoh and Awkwafina, who were just in Crazy Rich Asians together, are reuniting for a new film from the Swiss Army Man directors, the Daniels, Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheiner. Did you see Swiss Army Man?
No, I think you told me it was batshit insane, though.
Yeah, so that starred Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe as, like, an animated corpse, essentially. And it was a very weird movie. It's just, like, literally the definition of weird, just odd shit happening left and right. Surprisingly emotional, surprisingly kind of, like, heartwarming at times. I think I liked it, but again, it's, like, so weird that I could totally see people being like, oh, that was stupid. But this new movie is going to be called Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. A surrealist... Oh, wait, no, sorry. And this is basically an interdimensional action film.
What?
Is what they're calling it.
Oh, no.
That's the only...
First of all, I'm not sold on Awkwafina. And second of all, I'm not sold on Awkwafina in an action movie.
So I have no idea what this will be like, or even like what the budget would be. I don't think these dudes are commanding a big budget.
Yeah.
Interdimensional action film sounds like that would be pretty big budget, but... It can't be. There's no way.
Like,
it
sounds like a bad version, an even worse version of Jupiter Ascending.
I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. I just can't imagine these dudes making an action film either. They also have a bunch of shorts online. Like, you can look them up on YouTube, and those are all pretty weird too. I think they directed the Turn Down for What music video.
Listen, that video was hot fire. That video was awesome.
So these guys are an interesting duo. I've turned around on Awkwafina a little bit. I'll be honest. I thought she was pretty good in Ocean's 8.
Huh.
I guess I haven't seen Crazy Rich Asians, so I don't know what she's like in that. But yeah. I feel like I've heard that she's decent. I don't think I've heard any like direct complaints about anyone specifically in the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm going to give it a chance.
I'm not going to.
All right, last movie news talk of the week here. So the Venice Film Festival is going on right now. This is basically where like a lot of the movies we'll be seeing in the fall or in the winter are going to be debuting. A lot of potential Oscar players. So we'll just run through some of those. First Man, the Damien Chazelle, Ryan Gosling, Neil Armstrong biopic movie, premiered. Pretty strong reviews. It's sitting in like the mid to upper 80% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. People seem to be mad about this one thing. People are pretty hashtag mad online about this. Apparently, they don't make like the planting of the flag like a very prominent aspect
really?
in the movie. And so like people are like getting super angry about that. Like Ted Cruz tweeted about it. It was like, this is a blasphemy, this is a shame to whatever, to Americans, and also a Canadian is playing a great American hero. What is that? Like all this kind of stupid stuff.
Can't wait
like,
to hear Trump's thoughts.
It's like, I do kind of get how it can probably be kind of weird if like the flag isn't like a prominent aspect, because I feel like that's probably like one big step for man, or whatever, one big leap for mankind. That's a big, like, that's, like, the top two moments is that and planting the flag, but, like, it's not like they're not going to have the flag there, you know?
Is this a scenario where if they're getting this much backlash, like, do they go reshoot that and edit that in for the wide release?
I don't think so.
No?
Interesting. I don't think so.
I just saw trailer 2 for this movie. I can't wait. Looks so good.
Yeah, and the reviews basically just said it's a nice blend of, you know, like, human drama and... But it's still like very thrilling and suspenseful, in all the entire buildup and the actual flight out to the moon, I guess.
Nice.
So yeah, looking forward to it. A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper's directorial debut, starring Lady Gaga and himself and Dave Chappelle. Fun, which is I guess like the fourth remake of this story
really?
Or something. Got really good reactions. Basically. A lot of people are assuming it's going to be like probably one of the leads for like a bunch of Oscars. They're saying like probably best picture, maybe best director, probably like a best actress and supporting actor.
Wow.
Along with like all the musical stuff as well. So hats off to B. Coop there, I guess. That's pretty impressive for a directorial debut, especially with Lady Gaga as your lead.
I feel like he directed something else. I guess not, but... first of all, he's got new hair goals of mine. Like, his hair in that movie looks great. It definitely looked like it was going to be Oscar Beatty. But I think it looks really good as well, so excited to see it.
Yeah. those two, First Man and Star Is Born, I believe, come out within like a week of each other in October.
2 good weeks probably then for us.
Yeah. Bad Times at El Royale is the same weekend as First Man as well.
Oh, double feature.
Yeah. Next up, Melissa McCarthy's Can You Ever Forgive Me debuted as well. This is about, I think this is based on a true story about Lee Israel, who was like an author or a novelist, who basically started forging letters from like famous historical writers and then like sold them. So this isn't a comedy. This isn't typical Melissa McCarthy stuff. This is a drama, and they're saying it's like Melissa McCarthy's best performance ever, which I guess would make sense. What does she have to top? Bridesmaids?
Yeah.
But they're saying that there's potential that she could get nominated for another Oscar for this.
Listen, I'm not against letting Melissa McCarthy back in the trust tree, back in the nest. But she's released dud after dud, and she needs to win me back. What about you?
Yeah, I would say after Life of the Party and Happy Time Murders, she definitely needs to give me a little bit more of something here. Yeah. I feel like it might also just come down to her just picking better movies, although she wrote Life of the Party.
Yeah, it's just her and her husband writing really shitty movies where she falls down or makes a poopy. Like, God.
This will turn around. I have faith. Okay. I have faith. Then we got three more movies to talk about here. The Favorite, which is Yorgos Lanthimos's most recent movie, or newest movie, I should say, starring Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz. Yorgos made Killing of a Sacred Deer and The Lobster. This is not going to be that sort of, I don't even know what you would call it, horror type of stuff. I guess The Lobster wasn't even technically horror either. But this is going to be, like, this is a straight comedy is what they're saying, but he's obviously very weird, has these just oddball black comedy tendencies. This is about, I think he didn't write this, which is nice, because I think when he writes his own stuff, like he has the other stuff, it really lets him get more into that weird sensibility stuff that he has.
Yeah.
But this is a historical comedy. Early 18th century, England is at war with the French. Nevertheless, duck racing and pineapple eating are thriving. There you go. Frail Queen Anne occupies the throne, and her close friend, Lady Sarah, governs the country in her stead while attending to Anne's ill health and mercurial temper. When a new servant arrives, her charm endears her. She takes her under her wing, and the newcomer sees a chance to return to her aristocratic roots. So, sort of like a sort of power play kind of monarchy kind of thing going on here.
I didn't see The Lobster, and I'm still really confused on what I thought about Killing of a Sacred Deer. Do you like this guy?
I don't know. Not really.
You didn't like The Lobster, really. Did you? He's got a way that I don't know really gels with me.
He has, there are certain things that I like, but then he gets in his own way by making things too weird and like deadpan. Yeah. The Lobster, love the idea. Such a fantastic idea for a movie. Very inventive and original. But again, it was like the deadpan delivery and like these weird like pauses and awkward moments. It was just like he makes his characters show no emotion, which I just cannot get behind. I just can't. I can't do it. Killing of a Sacred Deer was just too weird for me. I like the sort of like the eerie tone and the weird vibe that everyone kind of gave off, but again, it just kind of left something to be desired, I think.
Well, at least this is getting good reviews. I don't know if it'll be a review-worthy one, but I'm sure we'll give it a watch.
Well, they're saying that this might be the film to beat for Best Picture.
Oh, come on. All right. I guess we're watching it.
Yeah. Next up, Sisters Brothers, or The Sisters Brothers, starring Jake Gyllenhaal, John C. Reilly, Joaquin Phoenix, Riz Ahmed, is coming out as well, and that is garnering pretty good praise for the director at the very least. I haven't really seen anything that's like, oh, this is definitely gonna be like an Oscar player, but it's getting pretty good reviews, and they're saying that it's like a pretty enjoyable time, pretty entertaining, that everyone works pretty well in it, and it's a nice little like Western Renaissance kind of thing going on.
I'm looking forward to it. The trailer didn't tell me too much about it, but it looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then last up is Suspiria. So Suspiria is a remake or a reboot or a sequel in a way, I don't really even know, of like a 1970s horror classic. This is from Luca Guadagnino, who made Call Me By Your Name last year. So this is a very big change of pace for him. Basically, I believe it was at South by Southwest is when it first premiered, or maybe it was... No, it was somewhere else, but they showed some showed some footage, and they were saying that like people were like vomiting at it.
Oh god, is this going to be like a Serbian film, like trying to outdo a Serbian film?
And so, so it sounds like it's going to be pretty messed up. They are comparing it to Mother.
Oh boy.
The film from last year starring Jennifer Lawrence, basically in saying that you're either going to hate it or you're going to love it, and there's going to be no in between.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be divided. They apparently people were walking out of the screening at Venice. But then there was also a rumor that like there people were booing, but then that was like followed. I was like, no one was booing. It was like, don't lie about that. But basically everything I've seen has said it's like it is this year's Mother. You're going one way or the other on it. We can't guarantee that you'll like it.
I think while we enjoyed Call Me By Your Name, it wasn't really like the story for us, but I thought it was directed really well. Love to see this guy take on something really weird and scary, spooky, horror-like. So you and I we're down for like extreme films like this. We'll give it a watch.
For sure. Have you watched Mother yet?
No, not yet.
Oh my God, will you please
I think
watch
you spoiled it?
It
for me. I can't remember. So I guess it's not spoiled if I can't remember. So yes, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. All right. That is it for movie news. We got one TV news story this week. Mr. Robot is going to end with season 4. It's next season. I didn't watch season 3.
Ooh, it's so good.
I think you told me it was pretty good, but I haven't watched it yet. Season 2 kind of just got to me a little bit. It was,
two was
way
bad.
Too long,
yeah,
too slow. But how do you feel about this? Are you, based on what you have seen, obviously, you've seen all of it so far. Do you feel like this is right? Do you think this is a good move?
I like a show that ends after 5 seasons. I think they could definitely squeeze one more out while still keeping the quality really high like it was in season 3. But if they feel like they've told their story, then totally fine with it. I mean, I think you and I felt the same way about The Leftovers. We would have loved 5 seasons of that, but like we'd rather let them go out telling their story that they think, you know, needs to be said.
Definitely, yeah. 100% agree with that. I'll have to watch season 3 here. I think this isn't going to debut for like another year.
Yeah.
But yeah, got that to look forward to now.
Cool.
All right. Only one trailer this week. Very, very short stuff, essentially. The trailer for The Front Runner released this week. The Front Runner is from Jason Reitman, who made Up in the Air, Thank You for Smoking, Tolly, which came out this year. Stars Hugh Jackman, J.K. Simmons, Vera Farmiga, Bill Burr, bunch of other people. But this is about Gary Hart. This is based on a true story. This is about Gary Hart, who was running for president in the 80s, I believe it was. Yeah, 1988 presidential. Basically was a front runner for the Democratic nomination until there was basically allegations of an affair came out and sort of like derailed his campaign. And so Hugh Jackman is playing Gary Hart. This looks pretty good. I like this kind of thing.
It does.
I like these kind of like political intrigue movies.
It looks really good, and Reitman usually does really personal type comedies and like small scale. This looks like a departure for him, and usually in every movie there's some kind of weird, you know, in very personal twist, and we kind of know what's coming in this one. But yeah, this looks really good, and it's nice to see Jackman doing something like this.
Yeah, this feels like huge jacked man's attempt at an Oscar.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
All right, well, that is it. That's it for trailers and news. So time for searching.
I think that's all right. Well, I've got a lot to say about this one.
All right, yeah. We'll start out with a non-spoiler review, and then move into spoilers. But first off, searching. Searching is about basically... of a family, I guess, if you want to call it that. The dad, or the daughter goes missing.
Yep.
And it's about the dad's sort of search to try and, you know, better understand her, learn more about her, because they've kind of had, like, this disconnect in their lives, and sort of his investigation overlapping with the detective's investigation and that whole kind of thing. And then how technology kind of plays a role in our lives and how it can hide what we're doing, yep, or show what we're doing. So nice little technological sort of just interwoven throughout the entire film. Obviously, it all takes place on a computer. Searching finished at number 5 this weekend at the box office. So this is technically its second week out, although it was only in New York and LA last week, but it's officially nationwide now. It debuted with $5.7 million, which is, I think, is pretty good for a small movie like this. I doubt it cost very much, considering it was,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't like they were going
to. The budget had to be so small. Like,
yeah. 91% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.4 average rating out of 138 reviews, 86% audience score, 4.3 out of 5 rating for that. Critics' consensus: Searching's timely premise and original execution are further bolstered by well-rounded characters brought to life by a talented cast. As we said before, John Cho stars in this as the dad. Deborah Messing stars in it as the detective on the case. I don't think there's really anyone else that is like a known actor or
not
actress.
Really,
there's not very
no.
many people in this. There's like 5 people anyways. Yeah. So that said, did you like this movie? What did you think?
I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. The pacing I thought was breakneck. I think they did a very good job with everything as far as keeping inventive ways to show the audience what's going on. I got a lot to say about this one. And just to sum it up, yeah, I loved it. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I was a big fan of Unfriended that we talked about before.
Were you?
And I thought it was
I thought it was bad.
Oh, I thought Unfriended was great.
Well, you're going to have to see Unfriended Dark Web, I guess.
I will. but I thought Unfriended was great, and I really loved how they utilized just the computer screen to, like, sort of keep you on the edge of your seat, and I think they did it really well here. But yeah, it plays out a little bit differently on the screen in Searching as opposed to how they used it in Unfriended. Unfriended was very much strictly almost like it's supposed to be like a found footage kind of thing, but this Searching is much more cinematic and sort of feels much more like a film. There's actual music and a score to it. Uh-huh. There's the camera moves around on like the screen and sort of pans and does that and helps you like focus much more as opposed to just like looking at a screen and trying to search for stuff. I think both ways work really well, but I kind of like how Searching was a little bit more cinematic in that.
And
in that sense.
It switched it up. It kept it varied. You know, one second you're looking at an iPhone screen, the next you're looking at a Mac, then you're looking at a Windows PC, then you're looking at a news report, then you're on YouTube, then you're on a casting service. So it never got stale. And that was, I thought, really cool how they kept you on edge of your seat, both on like what the hell's going on and just changing up how they're telling the story.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, it also helped it, the fact that they did, like you said, just did kind of like switch it up and do all that kind of stuff, had some variation in it, made the film feel like it was moving always. Mm-hmm. And sort of like constantly stuff was happening, which is pretty easy to do when someone is like constantly doing something on the screen of a computer or constantly talking to people or trying to like call more people and stuff like that. But this movie is like an hour 45 minutes and it felt like it flew by.
Yeah, I loved every minute of it. Like, of course the first act was a little slow, but once he kind of noticed something was wrong, just the way mm-hmm. he slowly unfolded everything out, and there's a couple times where you think, okay, we figured it out, but no. Let me ask you this without spoiling anything. Did you kind of guess the what was going on here? Because I did in some things, but I certainly didn't get it all.
Yeah, some things I guessed, and then I kind of guessed wrong. I think like I was able to like put a couple small pieces of something together, but I didn't like figure out every single thing fully.
So going back reading about this movie, there is a ton of foreshadowing. A ton. The director was on Reddit answering a bunch of questions. There are full-on subplots in this movie that are, he basically called the movie pause proof. Like, you can pause this movie and look in the background or look at other news headlines and find no evidence of them like putting just filler text there. Like, every single thing on the screen has a purpose, and everything every character does has a point. So really, you really got to watch this one. I want to see it again.
Yeah, I agree. And I love that every character has a point to it. There's a couple I should say there's one character that for at least most of the movie, I was kind of sitting there and I was like, oh, are they really just going to waste this character?
Yeah.
Is this person just here for like no reason or like just to be like a proxy for the audience or something like that? But luckily it didn't turn out that way. And I was very happy, but yeah, everything had a point. Everything was I think this is the director and the writer's first movie. They're great. I can't wait to see what they do next. And I also want way more John Cho leading movies.
I agree.
Much John Cho.
This easily could have been, you know, Shia LaBeouf, whatever. But it was an entire Asian-led film, basically, without it being, you know, it doesn't harp on that fact. You know, it's just a movie with Asian-led characters. It's great.
Yep.
I went on a nostalgia trip the first 10 minutes of the movie because
there's a really
inventive way of them showing you the backstory of this family. It's basically going through old operating systems and YouTube's old UI and everything. And I was going in worried that they'd do the whole like CSI New York thing where every piece of tech makes bleep, bleep, bleep. Oh, let's enhance that. Yeah. Every piece of tech looked exactly right. Like, you and I stare at computer screens all day. We know what UIs and user interfaces look like. I couldn't criticize anything. They did everything perfectly as far as getting that feel down of old OSs and like how you'd actually work on a computer, aside from a couple things.
Yeah, and they have a keen understanding of how social media works nowadays too. And I really appreciate that because, you know, there's a lot of movies that, you know, even if it's not a focal point, they totally just botch it, and it's just like, how is it so hard to understand how people use technology today and, like, aren't just weird as hell using it? Like, just use it like how a normal person – imagine you're sitting down at your computer and just do it like that and then
portray
that on screen.
And also, why is every operating system that people use in movies still that futuristic where every window makes a noise? Like, everybody's used a computer at this point. We know what computers are. We know what operating systems are. The FBI's OS and the programs they use don't make sound on every window, minimize, maximize, and keystroke, goddammit. Did you feel like the first 10 minutes were like one of those great emotional Google commercials? You know what's funny? Is the director directed some of those.
Really?
Yeah. I was like,
oh my God,
those Google commercials where it's like a son is Googling like Mother's Day gifts and then he Googles like what to buy my wife and by the end you're crying but you don't want to admit it. That's what the first 10 minutes was, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's actually done those.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfect.
The score was great. The music was great. The editing just, oh God, I want to see it again.
Yeah, it was great. It was such a good flick. It balanced sort of like heartwarming stuff and like emotional family drama with
and horror.
That sort of like
scary things that aren't somebody coming out of the woodworks with a knife or anything, but just like cultural scary things and
just real life things that happen with anyone or could happen with anyone.
And it portrays social media in the light of disaster, and I think it did that really well as far as like some people latch on saying, oh, I was this girl's best friend, and some people troll and say the dad did it, make memes and stuff. Everything in this movie was extremely realistic. The only pretty much bad thing I can say about it is there are a few times where like I don't think you'd use tech like that. Like, everybody's FaceTiming everybody. Everybody's Skyping everybody. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, the FaceTiming stuff was, like, right off the bat. And I was like, no one uses FaceTime this much.
Yeah, exactly. But that's almost the only bad thing I can say about this movie. I don't have much. Like, what do you have? What are your negatives? Non-spoiler negatives.
I don't know if I can really give any non-spoiler negatives.
Yeah, it's tough to talk much about this movie aside from the aesthetics and the visual and like that. It's good because really it's just a daughter goes missing and a dad tries to find him. You can't say much more.
Yeah. One last thing that I do want to say that I really like is all the red herrings that they do or sort of not even necessarily red herrings, but just like those subplot lines that feel like they're important to like the main plot, but end up not being, I appreciated all of those.
I agree. And a lot of the things that you think are going to be important are not, but they still, there are things in the background. Everything in this movie is fully fleshed out. There's nothing on the screen. There's nothing in the background. There's no character that, well, maybe they didn't do it or whatever. They still had a point and it was still relevant. It still helped the plot.
Yeah. And these people feel like real people.
Correct.
The world feels lived in despite the fact that everything is on a screen in the movie. You're not actually in any setting, really, outside of, a couple scenes in a way. And that's just such a testament, again, to the director and the writer for being able to flesh out all these characters, even tertiary characters, tiny minor characters that, you know, shouldn't even, like, really matter all that much, but they make everyone feel real, and they make the world feel real as well. And that's just that boosts how well all this stuff works.
I got out of this movie wanting to catch some killers, man. I was jacked. Like, every time, like, a big lead would come in, I'd be like, oh, let's go. God, we're going to find her. You want to do grades? I want to spoil this thing.
Yeah, let's do grades.
Go ahead.
I am going to give this a B+.
I am going to give this an A. When I think back, I cannot say too many bad things about this one, aside from some awkward interactions via tech, but 95% of the rest of it was how people actually use the internet, and I give them kudos for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. That's a good point. All right, so that is A for you, B+ for me. If you have not seen the movie or you don't want to be spoiled, stop listening now. All that we're going to talk about the rest of the time is spoilers for Searching. Spoilers, starting now. All right.
I caught on very early to the catfishing. Catfish was trending on Twitter in one of the scenes. The mascot of the school was a catfish. You've got fish and chips in the username. Mm-hmm. Did you catch up anything that early as far as like subplots and plots and what was really going on? It certainly didn't ruin it. I certainly didn't call it, but I, you know, something was catfish.
No, yeah, I definitely did not, like, definitely thought right off the bat that the fish and chips thing was a catfisher or something weird. Obviously, like I said, did not expect what it actually was.
Yeah. How could you?
Yeah, even when they did say, even when like the detective did say then that you're like, oh, it checks out, it's fine. I didn't like suspect anything of the detective at that point, but I did still think like, nah, that can't be right. No. There has to be something more with that. Like that has to come back at some point later. So yeah, I certainly felt like something was up there.
Did you think that the brother did it? Because when he was going over there, I was like, dude, it's weed. It's weed. Come on. They didn't put a giant bowl of weed in the first shot of the movie for no reason.
Well, my whole thing was I thought for some reason like the daughter was just gonna run away and live with the brother.
Yeah.
I thought this was gonna be a very minimal, just like straight up, just like it's actually just like a family drama kind of thing.
So when it escalated very quickly from there, you were like, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. And so like I just assumed, I was like, okay, so like this is playing out how most people would think it would play out. It's getting sensationalized. People are assuming like all these bad things. But in my mind, I was like, I feel like, because in the beginning, it did kind of feel like the brother was like kind of holding out about the daughter, like a little bit in the conversation. So I was like, oh, I bet the daughter just ran away to him. And then, you know, obviously that wasn't right. And then as it kind of kept going on, I was like, oh no, maybe the brother's like a perv or something or like something weird there.
And then I'm like, is the cop a perv? Is she running a sex ring for these criminals? My mind was a racing.
I know. And that's such like a perfect thing. It's like you can come up with like all these different theories and different thoughts and they kind of like lead you to some of them.
Yeah.
And it's just like all those things are like comments that people would have on Reddit for something like
this. And when the memorial thing ends up being the same picture, I'm like, well, clearly that's a stock photo. So is it a memorial? Is it a scam to get more business for this memorial company?
Yes,
is this memorial company running a sex ring? What is going on here? Every time I thought I got it, I was wrong. I was right about, obviously, it was catfishing, and two, it was weed. But boy, you can't. No one predicted what the hell was actually going on. How could you?
No. Not a chance. I was like 100% sold that it was the memorial like live streaming company thing.
Like they
had,
were
like,
some,
a, like deep
a Russian
like,
front
deep
for
state.
Child sex trafficking or something.
Yeah, I was like, this is what they do. This is how they make their business. They needed to get bolstered a little bit.
Also, in that scene where he's like pulling up the old picture and the music's like, oh, and then he puts the two pictures next to each other, just like,
yeah.
Everyone in the theater was like, and I was just like laughing at how dramatic it was. Basically all my points are just like random foreshadowing things I want to go over.
Okay, yeah, you can start.
Deborah Messing, the girl, the detective, right off the bat, the cover photo, a mother's love is unlike nothing else in the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. Boom. Instant foreshadowing. Yeah. Deborah Messing, the detective, telling John Cho the story about her son conned a neighbor out of $25, which later on is $2,500. Mm-hmm. And then she covered for him, foreshadowing that she covered for him. Mm-hmm. There was foreshadowing in early in the film where the screen pauses and there's an article about a guy who survived in the wild for 9 days, hidden in plain view. The second name the guy clicks on in his dead wife's address book is the kid and says has had a crush on her. There's so much. And I didn't catch all these, but I'm just like, every single thing in this movie, there's no throwaway anything on the screen here. And I'm blown away and I can't wait to see it again.
Wow, I didn't even realize that. I didn't notice that I remember reading that, you know, the second kid that he clicks on, I remember reading, like, has a crush on her.
That was him.
Certainly did not even notice the name.
And I kept thinking, like, oh, what is, and is this the character you were talking about earlier? Like, why does this kid just keep coming out of his bedroom and, like, annoying his mom? Like, is there really a point for the detective having a kid? And there, boom, sure enough, there is.
Yeah.
Was that the character you were talking about?
It was him. It was the brother too. I was worried that they just having the brother
as a straight red herring,
emotional thing to fall on. Yeah. No, I didn't even think they were gonna use him as a red herring.
Oh, gotcha.
I just thought he was just like gonna be there to be like, hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
You got anything you wanna exposition to me right now?
yeah.
Which thank God that he didn't turn out to be that way. I loved the friend the study group girl. And then her turning, like, once it comes out that, like, whatever, she's presumed dead, and then she has, like, the crying video. I thought that was hilarious. That was so perfect.
People were cracking up.
Yeah.
I like the guy that was just a big old pothead chiefer, and just the video of him just chiefing out smoke. And then he ends up not wanting to say where he was that night because he was at a Justin Bieber concert.
The
audience was dying.
I was, like, the only person in my audience to laugh at that. There was, like, a person behind me that, like, kind of, like, was, like, snickered a little bit, and I just, like, I let out, like, a ha!
There's a lot of comedy in this movie where he doesn't know what a tumbler is, or what I really liked is, it's just, the attention to detail is insane. When John Cho turns on the UCAS thing from her account, Fish and Chip joins, then leaves.
Yeah.
Well, that was hilarious, but it was really just the kid being like, holy shit, is she alive?
Yeah.
And then leaving, being like, oh shit, that's her dad. And what's really cool is he didn't have a profile picture anymore because his mom went and deleted all the accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So many little things that, like, everything was thought through in this movie.
Yeah. What did you think about that, like, obviously the actual twist? Like, how he actually did it, or, like, what actually
happened? I think if anybody says they called it, they're lying, because how could you even come up with, like, figuring out that was the scenario, you know?
Yeah.
Did you
like
it? I kind of did. I'm glad it wasn't as sinister as, like, some sort of sex ring, or, like, she was being held up as a slave somewhere. Like, I'm kind of glad the movie didn't go down that dark road, and it was more just, like, a couple accidents. Like, but they didn't really make it clear. Was the kid, like, autistic or something?
I think he had.
Yeah.
Like, that's got to be what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I was okay with it. I certainly didn't see it coming. I don't think anybody could have.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know what else they would have done, or they could have done that, like, would have been better than it. There's just something about it, for some reason, that just kind of, like, I didn't like that much. I don't know why.
Hmm.
And I think it might have been because it felt like it didn't have...
It was kind of just.
It just felt like such a big gear shift from everything that came before, and you didn't really get the big. I guess you did get, like, the kind of build up from, like, when he realizes it to when he goes to, like, the memorial service.
Yeah.
I
guess,
like, that's like whatever.
It,
like,
it does feel
thing,
like a series of random events that led to this, but I think that is kind of what happens in a lot of these cases, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It was really dark that the FBI agent, I guess, made that guy kill himself?
Yeah.
How did she
do
that? Drug him up and tell him to do it?
I think she killed him.
And I just... Oh, yeah, totally. Made him read that and then killed him. Jesus. A mother's love, man. My mom would do it for me. A mind-blowing situation, or another little plot, is when David Kim, the brother, is first talking to John Cho when he's making the gumbo, it's Margot who rings the doorbell and interrupts him.
Oh,
to
shit.
To go get some weed,
really?
Yeah.
Wait.
To get weed and then to go smoke at her chill spot.
Oh, whoa, mind blown. I didn't realize that.
He didn't want to tell the dad because he didn't want to, you know, it was like their little secret.
Yeah. Huh.
Crazy.
Can we talk about the messages between the brother and the daughter?
Yes.
Okay. Obviously, like, they had them that way to, like, kind of, like, lead you on and assume it was, like, that kind of weird shit. But, like, would they really be talking that way to each other like that?
I don't know.
Because, like, that, like, if I was, you know, going and getting weed from someone, like, who I wasn't supposed to be. But I also don't know if I'd talk about it in that way. It's like, if you're keeping it a secret, you're obviously thinking no one's going to see your messages. So you can probably, like, let on, like, a little bit more. But also, if you're keeping it a secret, you got to realize what you're sending, if someone did see that,
exactly,
they'd be like, oh, you guys are boning each other?
Exactly.
Like, so that's another, like, little thing that I wasn't the biggest fan of. I appreciate what it made the audience feel.
Yeah.
But I also just kind of, like, I don't know if, like, that's how they'd actually talk to each
other. Yeah, and that, again, that's the only thing that I can kind of give negative points to this movie for is just certain things, like, you wouldn't really do that. You wouldn't use the technology like this. You wouldn't really say that.
Yeah.
But it was needed for the story, so whatevs.
Yeah, two moments that I love where you just, like, know shit is about to go down or things are about to get pumping is when, like, he first reports her missing and then he's like, oh, well, her laptop is still there. And I was just like, hell yeah. Because I was like, that entire time I was like, oh, her laptop being there is going to be, like, the key to this entire thing. And so, like, once that happened and then, like, once he starts getting and, like, he's going through, like, all the Facebook friends, I was like, oh, yes, this is pumping.
Yeah.
I love this.
Totally.
And then, like I said before, when he figures it out, that walk, like, once he walks into the memorial service, they're kind of holding off on, like, the score and, like, all the sound, really. It was, like, very minimal, just kind of, like, holding out.
Oh, I thought it was going to end.
Slow walk,
I was going to be so pissed.
Yeah, that slow walk up was awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, the cops rushing. That was sweet. I loved that.
My other favorite part was when he finds out where the little lake is or whatever, the pond where she goes to do nothing. And it was, like, only an hour ride. And I was like, oh, get out there. Couple other things that I remember or that I saw is Margot stated that she liked the Pokemon Uxie, and it has an ability to remove memories. Margot gave up piano because it reminded her of her mom. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the only other, like, non things that I didn't like is just, again, people using tech in weird ways. Like, did they really need the forgot password and, like, two-factor authentication scenes where he's trying to get into her accounts? They could have just made it so, like, her passwords were saved, like every other person in America's passwords are just auto-filled.
I like that. As someone that does not save their passwords...
I mean, I don't either, but...
I like that a lot.
How did he initially get into her laptop? Did it not have a password?
Her laptop didn't have a password.
Okay. Unrealistic, again.
Yeah. The laptop should have had a password. If she's not saving her passwords online, okay. But, like, her laptop should definitely have a password.
Yeah, he should have had to, like, guess that it was her mom or something. Or, like, something from her, like, her old dog's name or something like that. What else you got? I have one more random fact that I want to bring up to blow your mind. I don't have too much else, though.
Just going back to the thing that I didn't like that I just felt like was kind of, like, a bit much. I think the aspect that felt, like, way too much with the twist was how she forced, like, the ex-con to give the confession and then killed him. Like, that just feels like a lot. That's, like, a huge, weird step for this movie to take that felt, like, very real. That feels like something that would not happen, and I think that's why it took
me out
of it.
And also for the mom to go from a detective... and a very upstanding citizen that holds the, like, she's a great cop, whatever, to go immediately into a murderer, you know? Like, that is...
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. What's your final thing you got?
So, I mentioned every single thing on the screen has a purpose. There are multiple characters and subplots that literally they basically said there are stories in the story that you have to look in the background to have this story told to you. There's an alien subplot in the movie.
What?
Which I remember earlier I was saying, we'll talk about aliens, ghosts, kidnapping, whatever, maybe what this was. But there are, like, multiple things where, like, alien life might be discovered or, like, NASA trip goes wrong or, like, the director confirmed it on Reddit. Like, yeah, go back and try and find the space subplot in the movie.
What?
Like, we need to watch this again. I saw like a 10-minute video of like really deep Easter eggs of a guy who watched it like 3 times already, and I'll tweet it out. I can't wait to watch it. I didn't get a chance to.
I just need this to come out on like streaming so I can pause and look at all this
for
shit.
Sure. And that's what people have done, I think, is just like bring a notepad and just write down everything they see and try to put together these subplots. I cannot wait for this guy's next effort.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Yeah. All right, grades again?
A, what did I say? A? Hell yeah.
Yeah, you gave it an A, and I gave it a B+. Definitely worth your money. Definitely go see it in the theater. I think it's pretty awesome to see on the big screen just sort of like how they make this watching something on a tiny screen feel so cinematic and huge.
Yeah.
So I think it deserves that.
Real quick, didn't actually talk about the end. Did you think she was going to die? I had no doubt in my mind she'd be alive, but I was still on the edge of my seat and like really pumped.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
I'm glad they weren't going to make it a bummer, you know. Every time when they're like, we have confirmed that, like, they didn't find a body. I'm like, she'll be fine. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Give it your money. Go see it. Go check it out. Next week, I believe we have The Nun. I think is our movie.
It's going to be trash. Review.
Oh, come on. I think it's going to be scary. Okay. I'm pumped. So remember to tune in next week. Remember to subscribe and review on whatever podcast listening platform you are using. Like, comment, share on any social media, wherever you see this. Tell a friend to download. Tell a friend to listen. Have some fun with it. And we will see you next week.
Peace.